All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track, and let's flip the coin just as we used to do. John, one side of the coin is Deshaun Watson gets traded. The other side of the coin is Deshaun Watson stays with the Houston Texans. Called in the air.
Oh, this is heads all day.
It's tails.
It's tails. It's Mace, tails. You want a coin flip?
I want a coin flip.
Wow. Do you want to go first or do you want to defer?
I will defer. No advantage goes with that.
All right, Mace. The Neil deGrasse Tyson, physicist, has an interesting take on people, I think such as yourself, who say that once they get their two vaccine shots, they're going back to living their normal life.
Yes.
He says what's important is not that you necessarily have your vaccine shots, but it's what everybody else does.
Yeah.
And he had a very interesting analogy to explain it. Here is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If most states in the United States of America have retained their mask-wearing rules to protect everyone from COVID, and some states have relaxed that rule, allowing people to walk around without it in public, that's like designating a peeing section of a swimming pool.
Which I think is an excellent point.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Even though you're vaccinated, will you continue to wear your mask, or once you get your second shot, are your mask days done?
No. I think my mask days are going to continue for a long time.
Maybe forever, huh?
They don't know yet if once you have the vaccine, you can potentially pass it on. So, no, I will continue to wear my mask in solidarity with mask wearers everywhere. And I don't know. I mean, Biden said last night maybe there will be regular 4th of July get-togethers. I don't know if masks will be involved or not.
Well,
it's possible none of us will be wearing them.
Well, here's the thing. I think that if we're going to get fans back in the stadiums, which is obviously near and dear to my heart because
yes.
I want the fans to get back into Staples, we all got to wear masks to the games because we don't know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't.
Sure.
We don't know how these crowds are going to get in there. I think that's a small price to pay to get fans back in the building. I hope everybody, regardless of what your state rule is, like, for example, Lindsay's from Ohio. Mace, you grew up in Ohio. I grew up in California. I think if everybody can just agree to wear a mask to public gatherings, then we can get the public gatherings back quicker. It's to you.
All right. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots have re-signed Cam Newton to a one-year $14 million contract. In 2020, Newton was through for 2,600 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 10 picks. He made $58,000 per completed pass last year. Rodney Harrison already says it's the worst decision Bill Belichick has ever made. What do you think of the Patriots running it back with Cam Newton?
I think that if you look at the contract, he's kind of making backup money. This is not the type of money you necessarily throw at a starter. It's kind of the Marcus Mariota contract.
Right.
So I don't think this precludes them going out and getting another quarterback. I think this was a CYA signing.
Oh, okay.
You know, so at least we have Cam Newton if we can't do anything else. What do you think?
Yeah, I actually like your idea. I don't think Cam Newton can be a franchise starting quarterback anymore. I think those days are over, and last year really demonstrated that. You know, there's a lot of this talk about Jimmy G being traded from San Francisco to New England. That would make a lot of sense, but you're right. $14 million is not a lot to pay for a quarterback. It's more than the average backup.
Yeah, but guys like Goff and Wentz and Stafford are all making $30 million plus.
And the Patriots have a ton of cap space, so you're right. They may have signed him as a slightly expensive backup quarterback. That's very, very well could be the case. It's to you.
All right, Mace, you love coffee.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Karan Raj has over 3 million followers who tune in to watch him debunk science and health myths and share his knowledge. Dr. Raj is a surgeon based in London. Here's what he posted on social media about coffee. I want to see if it'll have any effect on how much you drink. Here's
okay.
Dr. Raj.
Just so you know, if you drink coffee, you're also consuming cockroaches. Pre-ground coffee, like you get in most stores, contain ground-up cockroaches. Certain percentage of coffee beans become infested with cockroaches and other insects. Usually, they can't be processed out completely. So they just get roasted and ground up with the coffee beans. Most food authorities allow a certain percentage of bug pots in our food. Cockroaches are high in protein. If you're allergic to cockroaches, I'd stay away from pre-ground coffee.
All right, there it is, Mace. You're drinking cockroaches when you drink coffee. Will Dr. Raj's video affect your coffee intake at all?
Okay, so let me explain my relationship to coffee. Contrary to popular belief, I do not love it. What I actually do is just chug a coffee in the half hour leading up to the show. I like the effect and not the taste of the coffee itself. Like when I don't work, I don't drink coffee. I'm not interested in coffee. The only time I ever drink it is when I'm getting myself hyped up for a show. The cockroach thing is absolutely disgusting, and I am going to, from this point forward, forget that I ever heard it.
Here's another option for you. Mike Breen, the NBA lead NBA play guy on ESPN,
yes,
told me once that he drinks 2 cups of green tea every day and he never gets sick. He told me that 3 years ago. So I drink 2 cups of green tea before every game that I do, and I take a cup of it with me so I have it at the game, and I haven't gotten sick in 3 years. So and that has a lot of caffeine in it. So
yeah,
you should
for
look
me,
into green tea, too.
For me, what I need is the caffeine.
Yeah,
and
look into tea.
I've tried the 5-hour energies, and it gets me way too hyped.
Yeah.
That's too much. But a coffee seems to be the right amount, but the cockroach thing scares the stuff out of me.
All right, it's to you.
All right. A new poll shows that because of the last year, the average American washes their hands 9 times a day, and 41% of Americans now consider themselves to be officially germaphobes. 41% of Americans say they are germaphobes. On the germaphobe scale, where do you rank, John?
Below Michael, but ahead of you. I'm somewhere in that range. I probably am one of those guys that washes my hands 9 times a day. I brush my teeth 3 to 4 times a day.
Three to four times a day?
Yeah, I take 2 to 3 showers every day.
Oh, that's, you're a germaphobe. That's
no,
ridiculous.
Michael,
you take 2 to 3 showers a day?
So try and take two. Three. I use showers as resets. Like
okay.
I need a reset. Like
yeah.
I do that too. You're not the only one.
But Michael, this is how Michael carries with him at all times a bottle of Purell.
Yes.
And if he comes into any human contact with another person, he uses the Purell. Have I ever sent you the video that Trudell took of Michael sterilizing his room before they did Thompson and Trudell back in the day?
No.
When Michael's not there yet. Is he, Jorge?
No, not yet.
Okay, so when Michael goes into a hotel room, he puts all towels down on the floor because he doesn't want to walk on the floor. He takes the bedspread and chucks it because he says they don't clean it enough. He sterilizes the TV remote and the phone, and he won't touch anything. That and now Michael looks like kind of a genius that we've gone through the pandemic.
He was ahead of his time, right. Ahead of his time.
So he's a real germaphobe.
I do the same thing as Michael. Like I will either take a plastic bags and put the remote in a plastic baggie that I bring because even if you wipe it off, I feel like they still feel dirty. I wipe down the doorknobs, all of the light switches.
Yeah, wow. You and Michael would be in the same boat.
Ugh.
Well, yeah, no, I don't go that far. I don't go that far. That seems way over the top to me. I know the one thing I know is don't use the if you go to a hotel, don't use the comforter that's on top of the bed because that's dirty, and don't use the decorative pillows because those are dirty too. But beyond that, I'm gonna live my best life and try to get by without becoming a germaphobe. All right, it's to me.
Fast track.
A fitness-obsessed British man made his daughter sign a lifelong contract promising to never get fat and weighed her almost daily, according to a new report. Rashid Kadia, 56, faces charges of child cruelty.
Really?
He made his daughter sign this agreement. I, Amira Kadia, will never let myself get fat. I will do lots of exercise to make sure I will never get fat, even until I die. She is a girl of 10 years old. John, is this a case of child cruelty?
It's a case of bad parenting. Making the leap to child cruelty, I don't know. I'm very, very sensitive about telling other people how to parent their kids. I certainly would never do this to one of my kids.
Right.
But can you, like,
contractually keep your kid from getting fat?
But no. But more to your question, can you charge someone with a crime for bad parenting? Is he harming her? Like, is he starving her? Or we don't know.
We don't know the details. We don't know the details.
Just based on the little you've told me, I don't think I would find him. I think he's an a-hole.
I do too. Man, I think he's a total a-hole. And he's given his daughter a total complex about weight.
If I may, is this guy fit at all? At least?
Yeah, he is crazy fit. Oh, he is described as a muscle head.
And then that's where it comes from.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's a terribly mean thing to do your daughter, but I do not find him guilty of a criminal act. Do you?
I completely agree with you, but what a bad... Far be it from me. I don't have any kids, but this is just being a bad dad. Just being a bad dad. All right, it's to you.
Fast track.
All right, Mace. A decade-old ban on yoga in Alabama public schools could be coming to an end. The Alabama House of Representatives voted to improve the bill, and it now moves to the state Senate. Yoga done in school would be limited to poses and stretches. The bill says the use of chanting, mantras, and teaching the greeting namaste would be forbidden. The Alabama Board of Education voted in 1993, to prohibit yoga, hypnosis, and meditation in public school classrooms. Now, you used to teach yoga.
Yes.
Why would schools ban it in the first place? And what's wrong with chanting or saying namaste?
Yeah, I mean, om is the universal sound, right? So there's no religious connotation to it. Namaste just means I bow to you. It's
so
a way to
I
honor
know
the person
someone,
you're practicing with.
I know someone who lives in Alabama, and so I sent him this story. It's a woman, so I sent her this story. I said, hey, what? Give me the opposite side. And she said, the ultra-conservative part of Alabama government thinks it's Hinduism. And they don't want it going, you know, it's separation of church and state.
Yeah, I totally get that.
So that's
but yoga,
why they did it. But yoga is good for you. It's healthy.
It's good for you. It's healthy. But I'll tell you what. When I was growing up in Ohio, the idea of yoga was completely foreign.
Would have been laughed out of the room?
You would say, I'm doing yoga, and people would think you were doing something foreign and completely crazy. Now it's been mainstreamed, especially here in California. Yeah, I think the ban should be lifted. It is a great way to stretch and be flexible and
Hey, turn this up, Jorge. I know it's supposed to be calming yoga music, but do you have – I have a meditation tape on my phone. Do you have one?
I do. I meditate every single day. I meditate while I'm doing yoga. My yoga is a meditation, which is the way I think it's supposed to be. I would love to go back, you know, when I'm done doing all this horse blank that
whatever
we do
this
on
is.
The air. I'd love to go back and teach just one class a week. Just one really good yoga class a week. One kick-ass cool class. And I bet you I could gain a following that way.
Yeah, I used to go to one yoga class a week.
Yep.
And I was really bad at it, but the teacher didn't care. She said, just do what you can do and hang in there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So it was fun. I would love to go back to doing it once a week.
Yeah, I will teach. All right, last thing. Yesterday was Anthony Davis' birthday. He turned 28 years old. Happy birthday to AD. So here's the question I got. Where were you and what were you doing and what was your life like when you were 28 years old?
All right, so let me figure out what year that would be.
I think for you it would be 1991. 1991.
Right?
There you go.
Okay. I had just gotten a job in San Diego.
Yep.
In 1990, I got a job in San Diego. So I was a reporter. I had not met you yet.
Correct.
I was a reporter at KUSI in San Diego. I thought I was, I wasn't making a lot of money, but I thought I was stealing money because I got up every day and played basketball on this beach court in La Jolla. And then I had lunch down there. And then I went into work. And then I went out drinking after the show. And I hadn't met you. I hadn't met Lisa. I was, as you'd say, living my best life as a TV reporter in San Diego. What were you doing?
I was the morning guy.
It would be 93, right?
For me, it'd be 93. You're right. For me, it'd be 93, which means I was doing too much show with Rick Schwartz at night, which
right.
was a crazy show.
And the Kings made that deep run in the playoffs. I remember you guys did a smart thing. You married yourself to the Kings, and they made
yep.
it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And simultaneously, I was writing my first screenplay, and I was in my first big boy with a guy relationship at that point.
So a lot happening for you back then.
A lot was going on. A lot was going on, yeah. I had just gotten to Southern California. All right, there you have it. There is your very first Fast Track in a very long time. Make sure you are here every day at 1:55 for it. Coming up next for you, the Lakers. What is your level of concern? Who has been a disappointment to you? Who has been a pleasant surprise? And I think... what do you expect from the second half? 877-710-ESPN. Also coming up, Bill Walton. Just crazy, crazy commentary from Bill Walton on a game with Dave Pasch. We've got that coming up for you, too. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN. Yeah, morale is causing trouble. John, we barely talked about you while we were gone, except for the stuff that was there.
I actually don't disagree with you on that. After they traded Khalil Mack, I tried to quit him.
Yes.
I'm still not all that happy with Gruden. I am right now, I'm 1 foot in on the Raiders. That's a problem. I can't, like, really root for another team. I've kind of trying to
you
be in
sort
a...
of, you sort of are hedging on Rams. I feel
right.
like
well,
you're
a Rams
sort of
fan.
Coming over.
Here's what happened. I was a Rams fan as a kid.
Yep.
And then the Rams moved to St. Louis, and I became a Raider fan. And because they were the team that was on TV in LA all the time. And they were good and they were exciting and the games were super fun. And then I stayed a Raider fan, and when they traded Khalil Mack for what I thought was no reason, I just said, I mean, how many times you go to the same restaurant and they give you bad food and you keep going back?
So you see no improvement. I thought they were like a whisker away from the playoffs this year, weren't
they?
They're
8-8. They're an 8-8 team.
Beat Kansas City.
I won two bottles of tequila off Adrian Garcia Marquez.
Hey, what's up, Hong?
But I'll eventually jump back in. Can anybody explain to me why you had arguably if the Rams traded Aaron Donald, would you be okay with that?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so that was my thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I'll
not.
Get over it at some point.
Yeah, I don't think you're Raiders through and through.
I'm not.
I just don't buy it.
I'm not.
I just don't buy it. You grew up
maybe
in
I'll,
Orange County, and the Rams
yeah,
were playing there then.
Maybe I'll just, like, adopt a whole – I'll do, like, what Ben Lyons does. I'll adopt a whole new team.
Just a completely random team?
Yeah, let me think about it.
Why not be about L.A., man? Be about L.A.
Chargers?
This great town we live – well, I'll tell you this much. The moment I am on vacation, you bring somebody on from the Chargers.
Well, yeah, that's because they won't bring him on if you're here.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. I could talk to Brandon Staley just as well as you can talk to Brandon Staley.
Yeah, but they don't want you to talk to – they don't think you respect him. And by the way, you don't.
No, I respect Brandon Staley. He gave us an unbelievable defense this year.
Right, but they've heard
– I respect Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert is one of the best young quarterbacks in the league.
But they've heard what you've said about the Chargers in general.
Well, I hate the Chargers.
There, well, that's why.
But that doesn't mean I can't be respectful.
Yes, it does.
All right. So, anyway, I've got days off coming up, so stay tuned for Chargers.
Oh, talk. Good. Oh, maybe we get Justin Herbert.
Yeah, then you'll get Justin Herbert, exactly. Yeah. All right, so we were talking about the Lakers a little bit earlier, and the second half of the schedule, which starts tonight, is going to be a bit of a grind. I mean, the first 10 games, John, 7 of the 10 are at home, and only 2 are against teams that are over 500. But after that, they play 18 of their final 25 games on the road, and they've got 8 back-to-backs in the second half of the season. It is going to be a grind.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback on your point, they're going to play 35 games in 66 days. That's bigger than a game every other day. If it was a game every other day, it'd be 35 games in 70 days. They're going to play 35 and 66. You talked about the 8 back-to-backs. There were only 4 back-to-backs in the first half. Plus, they're going to have 9 games on rest disadvantages. In other words, the other team will be fresher than they will.
Yep.
So this will be a real test. But I'm still not worried about seeding. I really don't care where they're seeded. I think that they can win as long as they have a healthy Anthony Davis. And that's the thing that I'm keeping an eye on. Now, I know you're concerned about, like, lesser roles, but I still think if they have LeBron...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say Wesley Matthews has been a big disappointment. I think Marc Gasol has been a big disappointment.
Wait a second. Let's talk about that for a second. What did you expect out of Marc Gasol? What were you thinking he would provide?
Well, I was expecting him to be more of a rim protector. I expected, honestly, you know, he's averaged 3 assists a game. I expected him to be the passer that I thought I saw during the preseason. He made some, I use the word, marvelous passes. He made some fantastic passes during the preseason. He's less of that now. He doesn't impact the game, for example, in the way that JaVale McGee did and the way Dwight Howard
did. I think that...
Think Marc Gasol impacts the game as much as JaVale and Dwight? Look at the points in the paint that we're allowing.
More than JaVale, less than Dwight is how I would answer that. So, and keep in mind, so Marc Gasol is... How many minutes a game do you think Marc Gasol plays?
20.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I've already done a lot of this looking up.
Okay, so he's averaging 5 points, 4 rebounds.
Yes.
Okay, so he
In 20 minutes!
Right, that's not terrible. If he was playing 40 minutes, he would be a double-double guy. But the Marc Gasol, I think, is exactly what I thought we were getting. Matthews is a tougher thing to figure out. Because Matthews is only playing, I don't have this in front of me, but if I had to guess, he's probably playing 20 minutes a game. You know, he's not, like, if you thought...
Well, he fell completely out of the rotation for a while.
Right.
He's averaging 20 minutes a game.
Yes.
But if he was playing better, he would be averaging more minutes per game.
Yeah, he's shooting 33%.
Yeah, 33% from 3.
And, you know,
I expected him to be a better shooter than he's been so far. When he gets hot, he gets really good, but he just hasn't been hot a lot. And he was to the point where he and Markieff both fell out of the rotation completely.
Yeah, so they've got an opportunity here in these. You know, I mentioned that starting on Monday, they're going to play 5 games in 7 days. If AD doesn't come back, they have an opportunity to kind of show what they can do here. And particularly, Caruso's got a neck thing going on.
Yeah, neck spasms.
Yeah, and so...
He's not been ruled out for tonight, though.
No, I think he's going to play.
Yeah.
But I think Wes Matthews and... by the way, I don't know for sure, but I think Markieff Morris is going to start. And he's playing less minutes than those guys. He's playing 17 minutes a game. So these guys have an opportunity now. If they think they should be starting and playing more, they've got an opportunity to make their case here over these next few games.
Hey, boys.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, you guys.
Michael Thompson.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Michael, are you disappointed in Matthews or who's the other one? Mace Gasol?
Marc Gasol.
I kind of
thought that's what we were getting with those two guys.
Yeah, they're doing fine. When they get opportunities to play, they contribute. So Matthews doesn't hit his shots all the time. He's been streaky his whole career. And Mark is one of the best passers in the game. And Montrez plays the majority of the minutes as center. Anyway, and then when AD's healthy, he even plays more minutes as center. So Mark's doing fine. But let me
Who
ask.
Impact, one more question, because yes. We were just talking about this. Who impacted a game more? Who impacts a game more? Last year with Dwight and JaVale or this year with Marc Gasol?
You got to pick Dwight or JaVale. Which
okay.
one?
Dwight or Marc Gasol?
Dwight, because he was a banger. He was a shot blocker, catching alley-oop dunks. So Dwight.
JaVale or Marc Gasol?
Probably split, probably even.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an area where we dropped off. I don't think we defend the paint like we did last year.
You're not making a fair comparison here.
Well, Anthony Davis is obviously a huge factor
but here's what went out and here's what came in, okay? The two people that left that you're arguing were better, Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, we replaced them with Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell. Those were the two replacements for the two guys that left. So the question is, Mace, do you want Harrell and Gasol, or do you want McGee and Dwight? If you look at what Harrell's putting up, It's a no-brainer.
I want Harrell and Dwight.
Yeah, that's not an option.
Yeah, no, but that's what I would have. They had an opportunity to keep Dwight Howard. It came down to the wire between Philly and the Lakers.
Yeah, you know why they didn't keep him?
Why?
They got Harrell right at the last minute. Dwight thought he had a verbal agreement.
Yeah.
And they said, wait a minute, we think we can get Montrezl Harrell.
I just think this team misses Dwight. I just do.
Yeah,
I think they missed Dwight. I miss the energy. I miss the excitement. I miss the rim protection. I miss the stopping other teams.
He's not playing as good this year as he did last year in Philly. I don't know if you've been watching him.
Michael, what did you want to ask?
You saw what happened to Patrick Ewing in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
right?
I did. Actually, Michael, why don't you hold that? We've got what Patrick Ewing said.
Yeah.
Coming up, and I want to get your reaction.
Yeah, and
to
I want to ask you guys about something about that.
Excellent.
Yeah, I have MT's, a strong opinion about that.
Okay. MT's joining us coming up next, and we will get into what happened to Patrick Ewing at Madison Square Garden. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. Hey, everybody. Michael Thompson's hanging out. Lakers versus Indiana tonight at Staples Center. Michael and John Ireland will be there with the call. Pregame is at 5:30 with Spock and the Jock. Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson. By the way, I bounced that off of Sliwa yesterday.
Yeah.
Doesn't like it, which means we're going to run with it. Yeah, I don't know. I've told him it's
Sliwa
a compliment.
Sliwa doesn't like anything.
I told him it's a compliment. He's very analytical.
Exactly, like Spock. Spock's very smart.
Very smart.
Yes.
Very smart. So Michael, Patrick Ewing was beaten the other night, or actually won the other night, mm-hmm. as head coach of Georgetown, beat Villanova. Do you want me to play Patrick Ewing first
or after
you
ask your question? For people who don't know, Patrick Ewing is arguably the most successful and accomplished New York Knick of all time.
He's the greatest Knick of all time.
And his number 33 is retired in the rafters at Madison Square Garden. And he's now the head coach at his alma mater, Georgetown, who is playing in Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament. Now, Mace, go ahead and play what you're going to play.
So he was stopped, and as he says, hassled at Madison Square Garden. They were asking for passes and stuff. Here is Patrick Ewing talking about that after their game against Villanova.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
So, Michael, your reaction.
I understand completely where he's coming from. Those security guards, ushers in Madison Square Garden are some of the rudest people around.
Are they?
I've had my experiences with them, too. Not because I'm Patrick Ewing. Anyway, before I tell you about my experience – guys like Patrick Ewing, you mean to tell me, guys like him, legends like him for a franchise, if they're in the building or the stadium, like, for instance, Mace, you're Mr. Ram.
Yes.
Does Eric Dickerson need a field pass to go down to the field?
No, he does not.
Exactly.
ED goes where ED wants to go.
And that shouldn't that be the way for every legendary player for his team, for his former team?
It should
Sandy Koufax, does he need a media pass to go down the field or to get into the locker room?
There's a
you
difference,
guys
Michael.
Could not be more wrong.
What? What
this.
Do you mean? What are you talking about? What?
Patrick Ewing's banner.
Magic Johnson. Does Magic Johnson need a pass credential to get back in backstage, back in the locker room in Ireland?
Michael, during COVID, 100%.
I'm talking about guys could be wearing – I'm talking about it in the normal conditions.
Okay, even under normal conditions.
But he was already back
Patrick
there.
Patrick Ewing's last game as a Knick was in 2000.
So what?
All right. That means that a 23, 24-year-old security guy was 2 years old when Patrick Ewing –
All he's got to say is, I'm Patrick Ewing. And if you don't know who he is, then you should get fired.
Michael.
Don't give me that crap.
You are out of your mind. The reason you have credentials at places like – Madison Square Garden and Staples Center is that certain people are allowed in certain areas.
No, but Ireland, how do you account for the fact that it always happens at Madison Square Garden? It happened with Spike Lee. It happened with Charles Oakley. Well, now it happens with Patrick Ewing. How do you explain that it always happens at MSG?
That's a different argument. Now, if you want to say like they unnecessarily hassled Spike Lee. Spike Lee tried to come in a different entrance, and they hassled him. But my point is this. Eric Dickerson would need a pass to go on the field at SoFi Stadium.
Why?
Just give him a pass.
Just call
Kevin Demoff and get a pass, because the security guards, Michael,
When I see these guys in their gold jackets, and I go to all the Rams games, and they often recognize guys, and they're wearing their gold jackets. As far as I'm concerned, a gold jacket trumps a pass. If you have a gold jacket on, and you're a Rams legend.
That's right.
You can walk onto the field.
Or a Laker legend. Or a Laker legend.
Exactly.
Come on, Ireland. What's wrong with you?
What in the world are you guys talking about?
Okay, hang on a second. We've got Spike Lee. Jorge found Spike Lee's reaction to what went on with Patrick Ewing.
I called Patrick up. Yeah, Patrick, my brother, was hot. The indignity, the disrespect. Even if I'm a young kid born after Patrick, but... you know, was with the Knicks, glory years, he's 7'2". And you tell me there's nobody in the vicinity, if Patrick's going through the metal detector, to say, yo, come here, that's Patrick, let him through. Exactly. How does that happen? I don't understand it. As I said before, that's not going to happen at Yankee Stadium. It's not going to happen. There has to be some common sense.
Yeah, Ireland. So if Derek Jeter's coming into the Yankee Stadium without a credential, some security stops him and says, excuse me, sir. And he says, I'm Derek Jeter. I'm okay. You're going to stop Derek Jeter? Ask him the question.
Does he have a pass?
Yes.
No, he doesn't have a pass. He's Derek freaking Jeter, and he's going back in the locker room.
If he doesn't have a pass, I'm calling my boss.
Come on.
But why do you guys – why do those passes exist? Michael,
those are for people you don't know.
Recognizable figures from a franchise.
Would you let Jerry West walk into the Laker locker room without a pass right now?
Yes, that's Jerry freaking West.
He works for the Clippers.
So what? What's he going to do, come in there and spill secrets?
I don't know.
If he wanted to walk in there and say hello to him.
First of all, there's a difference between walking into the locker room and actually walking into the building. Jerry West can walk into the building because he's Jerry West.
Yes, Ireland.
Going into the locker room is a different scenario.
Now, so, Michael,
wanted to walk in there and say, I want to go say hello to LeBron before the game, an hour before the game, you're going to stop Jerry West?
Well, first of all, Jerry wouldn't do it.
I know he wouldn't.
Yeah, Jerry wouldn't.
He wouldn't. But let's say he wanted to go say something to LeBron.
The reason you have passes is because that way you control.
It's for
who goes
people
in and
like
who gets
us.
Out.
It's for people. It's for
us,
regular people.
Right.
It's for rank and file people who have got a press badge.
I think any time you play the "Don't you know who I am" card, you look like a jerk.
No, I would say this should be the "You should know who he is" card.
Right.
He is 7'2" and his banner hangs in the rafters.
If Kareem wanted to walk backstage and wanted to say hello to LeBron, you wouldn't let Kareem go.
Does he have a pass?
No!
Then I would call Tim Harris and say, can Kareem go back there?
Why would you have to do that for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Because I'm not in charge of access.
But shouldn't that be, like, known for these teams? If a legend like this
Michael, where do you draw a line?
For legends.
No, wait a minute.
For legends.
Okay, so John's...
For the face of a franchise.
But John's about to hit on something interesting. What defines legend, right?
How about this? This would qualify as any Laker. If your number's up in the rafters, you can go back there.
Agreed.
How about that, Ireland?
Wait a minute. So if a kid who's working the door at Staples Center has no idea who Jamal Wilkes is, he should let him in anyway because his number's retired.
Somebody there should know who Jamal Wilkes is. Work for the Lakers and not know that?
You just point up at the rafters and say, that's my pass right there.
See, that's me.
Yeah, how about Shaq? Let's say some 20-year-old's working and doesn't recognize Shaq. Should he stop Shaq?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the 20-year-old's marching orders are.
He shouldn't be working there if he doesn't recognize Shaq.
If you don't recognize Shaq, you should not have his job.
There's a famous story about this. You know Mattel, the toy company?
Yes.
Okay, so that was founded by two guys, a guy named Harold Mattson and another guy named Elliot Handler.
Okay.
So they combined Mattson and Elliot to come up with Mattel. So one day, Elliot Handler showed up. Their headquarters are in the South Bay. And one day he showed up at the front door and he said, I'm Elliot Handler. I need to go to my office. And the woman working the security desk said, I can't let you in. You don't have a pass. And he said, I'm Elliot Handler. My name is in the company. I own the company. This is ridiculous. Let me in. She goes, well, I'm going to have to call a supervisor because without a pass, you're not getting in. And it turned into this huge shouting match. And the woman said, sir, you can fire me, but you're not getting in without a credential. And Handler gave her a gigantic raise. He said, people are stealing our secrets all the time. This is exactly how you should treat this. Ask Michael. We got Michael Roth on here right now, Michael.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he would agree with me or you?
Me.
Out of your mind. I'm going to call him.
Yeah, call Mike. I mean, we're not talking about
Michael
just
Roth,
like,
by the way, we should say, is the keeper of all things at L.A. Live.
Yeah, the mayor. He's the mayor of L.A. Live.
The mayor of L.A. Live.
Garcetti's like the mayor of Los Angeles. Michael Roth's the mayor of L.A. Live.
Yeah. Yeah, you check with Michael Roth. I think Michael Roth's going to be with us.
But those ushers at Madison Square are so rude. After the All-Star game, the families of the Warriors and some other people had to go across the floor. After the game, nobody's on the floor, Ireland. There's nobody around. There's just maintenance workers out there sweeping up or whatever. We had to go across the floor to meet up with our party so we could get on the plane to get back, go to the airport. And they would not let us cross the floor to go to the other side. Said, sir, we just got to go across the floor and go up that aisle right there. Our party's over there waiting for us. We don't have any other way to get there. Nope. You can't go across the floor.
Guy's just doing his job.
No, that's ridiculous.
Just not logical. The job is stupid. If that guy is doing his job, it's a stupid
job. We tried to explain to him, so the only way we can get to meet our party so we can leave is we have to go across the floor right here.
Right.
Just 70-foot walk.
Right,
he wouldn't let us go.
Hang on. Because I want to make room for everything we're trying to do here. Michael, at the top of the hour, are there too many three-pointers in the league right now? Kevin Arnovitz wrote a big piece about it, and he's going to join us, and I want to get your take on it. And coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mesa in Ireland, Michael Thompson hanging out, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is time for Radio Tinder. Sorry about that. I was in the other room for a minute. Lindsay, what do you got?
What I've got is a new mysterious dining experience that's coming to San Diego. Tickets to Dining in the Dark by Fever Originals will get you a blindfold and a surprise menu. The 90-minute meal and experience takes place at a secret location in a restaurant at the center of San Diego, blanketed in darkness. Guests will enter a darkened room, only lit by the flicker of a candlelight, before placing their velvet blindfold over their head. A true foodie experience that promises to enhance your senses by eliminating one of them, your eyesight. How do you guys feel about this? Would you try dining in the dark? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. This is the dumbest idea ever. Don't overcomplicate eating out, all right? Why do I want to eat in the dark? It's unnecessary and stupid. Swipe left.
Swipe right. I think it sounds really interesting. John, the one thing people don't know about me is I have a very delicate palate. And I would be interested to just taste the food itself.
You eat donuts four nights a week.
That's right. I eat the best donuts.
Popeyes
four
times a week. Come on, man.
Yeah, Popeyes.
Eat it blindfolded.
I've got an
How about
excellent
that?
Sense of taste.
Eat it blindfolded.
That's stupid because half the fun is looking at your food and enjoying the different colors.
Amen, Michael.
Yeah. But Michael, imagine the mystery of it. Imagine just putting something in your mouth, not knowing what it is, and trying to figure it is what it is just by its taste. To me, that sounds fascinating.
Plus, don't you want to look into Jose's eyes while you're eating?
It's Juan,
which isn't his real name.
Yeah, Jesse, whatever. You know, don't you want to look at your partner?
Just throwing out names.
Jaime, whatever.
Jaime, sure. Yeah, just go for it.
Lindsay, isn't that part of the experience? Looking at your dinner companion, and you know, enjoying the looking.
Yeah,
at...
what Mace? What happens if you're on a date? Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say maybe not for a first date, but if you've been dating somebody for a while and you've been on dinner dates hundreds of times, I think it's a cool way to switch things up.
Ron and I have been together for 15 years. We've done the looking in the eyes.
Yeah, maybe if you're dating somebody ugly. Yeah. But, I mean, no.
Do you still dress up for this, though? Like, I mean, you're blindfolded.
Yeah.
Do you still dress up? I don't
Well, yeah,
so.
Because you're still going to interact with each other after.
No, Michael, that's a night for sweats.
Oh, yeah.
Sandals, chanclas.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be mad if somebody took me to this, showed up in sweats because... like you said, you know, no one else is going to see you.
Exactly.
But I think it's a cool idea, and I would definitely try it. And
I do, too.
Yeah.
I like it.
Maybe we'll go, and we'll tell you guys all about how awesome
it Michael
was.
And I will go to a restaurant with lights.
So wait a minute. So how are you going to stab your food with your fork? You have to touch it with your hand first to make sure you're getting it?
Yep.
You know, I'm not sure about the logistics.
Questions.
Yeah, there's probably... some things that they need to do, like a little rundown,
it's
maybe.
It's one of them fancy tasting menus where they get a big spoon and they stick some food on it and you try it.
Yeah.
All right, Lindsay, what's next?
All right, well, speaking of food, most people have struggled to maintain their weight during the pandemic, with 61% of American adults reporting undesired weight gain or loss since the COVID outbreak. Prior to the pandemic, about 4 in 10 Americans were already obese, according to the CDC.
4 in 10?
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's a lot. Yeah, I think it's like 93 million Americans.
This
it's a lot of people.
Fat.
It's more than that. Just sit in LAX and watch people walk by.
fat.
No,
fat,
stop.
Fat.
No fat shaming here.
No, of course not.
And according to the APA's latest Stress in America report, more than 2 of 5 surveyed adults, which is 42%, revealed that they gained more weight than they intended over the past 12 months, and they put on 29 pounds on average.
Ooh,
seems like a lot.
Pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
So exactly 1 year after the world shut down from COVID, do you weigh the same? Swipe left or swipe right?
I actually weigh 3 pounds less.
Yeah, I weigh 27 pounds less.
I weigh the same.
Michael, you've looked the same since the day I met you.
Yeah, that was my goal to when I retired, is to keep my playing weight at 235. And it's no excuse to be gain weight in a pandemic, because one thing you could
the
do
pandemic.
Is go on. You was that
the pandemic?
Pandemic. Yeah. One thing you could do, Lindsay, is you could go outside for a walk. You know, you could do that.
Did you guys see that Gwyneth Paltrow said that she gained like 17 pounds, which for somebody as skinny as she is.
Oh,
that
my
would
God.
Be very
right,
noticeable.
But wait a minute. That's interesting. Wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow in that movie where Jack Black saw her as way skinnier than she was?
Oh, Shallow Hal.
Yeah, Shallow Hal.
She said it's getting bigger.
She said a lot of it had to do with like her mental state and also drinking a lot more wine than she normally would because she was sitting at home eating cheese and crackers and drinking wine.
Well, let me tell you something. So I talk to my shrink every week, and my shrink says that everybody is having a really hard time. And the best thing you can do for yourself is to be be self-forgiving. Because there are a lot of people that are eating too much. There are a lot of people that are drinking too much. There are a lot of people who are using too much cannabis, all that stuff. And you just got to realize these are extraordinary once in a century kind of event.
No, that's lazy, because if you're able-bodied, you could go outside you could walk around your neighborhood to keep the weight off if you're able-bodied.
I don't know. Michael, what about the people who have been dramatically affected, like mood-wise and mentally?
Well,
they have a hard time, you know? Like some people, there's been days where I felt like I don't even want to get out of bed. I cannot get out of bed today, and I can't explain why.
But that's the thing, Lindsay. If you are depressed because you're inside so much, you're sitting around, you go out for a walk, and the fresh air will make you feel better.
You're right, but sometimes it takes a lot just to get to the door.
Oh, I know some people have different mental issues, but if you're not suffering from that, you know,
in the pandemic, I started at 200.
Yeah.
I ticked up to 217, and now I've cut myself all the way back to 190.
That's great.
So I'm actually 10 pounds less than I was before the pandemic started.
Did you change your diet a lot?
Changed my diet a ton.
Oh, he's changed his diet a lot and back and back and back and back again.
Yeah, like a teeter totter.
I eat healthy and then I eat not healthy.
That's okay. It's okay.
I'm all over the board.
It's hard to stick with it. It's a lifestyle change, you
and
know?
If you, it's okay to treat yourself to a cheeseburger every now and then.
What about Popeyes? Love that chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Popeyes.
Nothing wrong with that. Just don't do it every day.
Oh, their chicken sandwich. Their Cajun flounder sandwich. Oh, so damn
good. Sounds healthy.
All right. What's next, Lindsay? Pandademic.
All right. So speaking of the pandemic, well, this actually has nothing to do with the pandemic. If you saw a urology clinic advertising vasectomy mayhem spring specials, would you get confused and think the NCAA was associated with the promotion in any capacity? Probably not, but the NCAA sure thinks it's possible. The collegiate governing body filed a trademark cancellation request last month to stop a Virginia urology clinic's use of the, quote, vasectomy mayhem phrase. In its filing, the NCAA argues that the clinic's phrase is confusingly similar to March Mayhem and other trademarks that it currently holds. Do you think that the NCAA has a case here? Swipe left or swipe right?
Absolutely not. First of all, who uses the term March Mayhem? I mean, occasionally the word mayhem comes up, but it's madness. If they were doing vasectomy madness, I would say, well, maybe the NCAA is a claim. But vasectomy mayhem does not make me think of the NCAA tournament, although it is weird. Guys tend to get their vasectomies during the tournament. John, have you been snipped?
No, Lisa keeps asking me to get snipped. I haven't done. Michael, did you ever do it?
Oh, no, that's why you have two condoms.
What?
Wow. Yeah, just double up. Just double up, Lindsay.
Lindsay, why are you talking to me?
Because because, you know, girls worry about that stuff.
You're out there in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And girls worry about that. Doesn't that make sense? Double
I'm
up, triple
I'm not
up.
Out there in the world right now,
it,
okay?
It
not
is
right now.
It is a peak time, the NCAA tournament. I think because guys lay around a lot, it's a good time to get a vasectomy. So
yeah, it's but turned into like a marketing thing, right?
If you know it's going to rain, don't you bring an umbrella?
Oh, my gosh, Michael.
Oh, Michael.
A poncho? A raincoat?
A poncho. Yeah, raincoat, exactly.
Yeah. A baggy? That
yeah,
works.
Michael, Jorge, what's your phrase when things get a little out of control?
When in doubt, leave it out.
When in doubt, leave it out. Exactly right. All right, there you have it. There is your radio Tinder for today. Coming up next for you, fascinating conversation. Kevin Arnovitz wrote a great piece this week about whether or not the three-point shot and all the analytics that have led to it are hurting the NBA. That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, Michael Thompson hanging out, 710 ESPN.